The perfect mom. Right? Perfect mom. And it seems like in this day and age, moms feel a lot of pressure. They feel a lot of pressure to perform, to have good kids, to always have the house clean. Someone knocks on the door, it's like everybody scrambling to start cleaning. Do the latest Pinterest project, attend every school event, make snacks for all kinds of events that you have to attend to, be a part of the PTO, all kinds of stuff that moms have pressure in these days. And social media does not help in this. You get on Facebook or something like that and you see, this particular mom that's always doing all the coolest things, and the kids are always smiling in the pictures. And you go to take a picture and you're like, all right, everybody look right here. I have to tell the kids, look at the apple on the phone. Look at the apple, so that way they're looking at the right spot. And, they're just, we can't take a good picture in our family. I mean, the kids are just goofy and we're going to blame it on the kids. So, in social media, it makes it even worse. They have this thing called mom shaming now. In social media, there's all kinds of shaming stuff, but there's mom shaming, where moms are like bashing each other because, they're not breastfeeding or they're not giving their kids all organic stuff or, they're not wearing the latest fashion or, whether they're supposed to be working moms or stay-at-home moms. And there's all kinds of pressure on moms these days. And it's ridiculous. It's tough being a mom. I mean, I'm not saying that from experience, but it's tough being a mom these days. There's high expectations. There's little to no time to get everything done. Little sleep. You're exhausted. And you deserve a day off, right? Any moms deserve a day off? So in this life, how do we respond to the high expectations that are placed on moms, the high criticism that's placed on moms, and the low support that a lot of moms don't get? Today I'm here to encourage you. You don't have to be the perfect mom, because there's no such thing. There's no one right way to raise your kids. There's no one right way to do, to be a mom. And so there's no such thing as the perfect mom as a lot of, things on Facebook that you see. You see the Pinterest mom, that has all the latest cool stuff that she's doing with her kids. And I just want to encourage you today, don't worry about what people think about you. Be who God made you to be. Be the mom that God made you to be. Because we can get caught up in all of that stuff. We can get caught up in, these people said this about how I raised my kids. Who cares? You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You're a child of God. Let Him tell you how to raise your kids. Because if you haven't noticed, your kids are different. My kids are like night and day different. Even the way, discipline or encourage your children is completely different. And so, don't let people shame you because of the way you raise your kids. I just want to encourage you, go to God and say, God, I need your help to do this. Show me the way. Show me how I need to do this. And allow God to speak to you and be that kind of parent to your children. And so today, it's Mother's Day. We're talking about moms, but today's message will apply across the board, not just to moms today. I want to look at a couple ladies in the New Testament. Their names are Mary and Martha. And, if you read the New Testament, if you read through the Gospels, there's like a ton of Marys in there. And it's easy to get them all confused. And I was like trying to research, okay, which Mary did this? You got Mary Magdalene, you got Mary, mother of Jesus, you got Randall Mary, then you have Mary that's the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and it can get confusing. And so today we're going to look at Mary and Martha today. And they're two sisters, and we know them as the brother of Lazarus, or the sisters of Lazarus. And I believe that God wants to speak to us through their lives because, they're sisters, We don't know if they're mothers or not. The Bible doesn't say, but you know, that's not important. But we see them in this relationship with Jesus. And we see actually in John chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister," who's Mary, "and Lazarus." And we don't see that very often, to where it specifically says Jesus loved this person. Unless you're reading the book of John, which he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. You know, if I ever write a book, you know, that's how I'm going to refer to myself, as, you know, the man that Jesus loved. You know? But that's how John referred to himself. But we don't really see a lot of reference. I mean, yeah, God loves everybody. Jesus loved everybody. But very rarely do we see that Jesus loves and names them like this. And so there's a special relationship that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had with Jesus. And so today we're going to look at these two ladies, and we're going to see that they are very different. They're very different in the way that they express their love, in their lifestyles that they lived, and how they lived out their Christian faith. But it says that Jesus loved them the same. Jesus didn't prefer one over the other, even though they're completely different. And today I want to encourage you to be who God made you to be. Because God made you, you. So you need to be you. You need to love God like you love. You need to love your family like you love. You need to live life like you are, as God made you to be. Yes, I know that sin has entered the world, and we battle with temptation and all of that stuff. And you know, I'm not saying just live however. What I'm saying is find out who God made you to be and be that person. Be that mom that only you can be to your children. Because you can read tons of books, and you can go to the library and just find all kinds of information, get on the internet, find all kinds of information on how to raise your family and, you know, the perfect way to do this, that, and that. Let me tell you something. We have the best encyclopedia on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit, and He will tell you the right way to do what you need to do. So be you. Don't get caught up in the craziness of the demands that our society puts on moms today. And so I want to jump in here and look at these two ladies. And we're going to look at Mary and Martha. And as we go through these stories, I have about three different stories that we're going to read today and see kind of the different personalities and how they're different and how they respond differently to Jesus. See, Martha, she was more of the assertive type. She was an extrovert. And I'm just kind of getting this from the scriptures that we read. I'm not like, you know, it doesn't like write this out in the Bible for me. But, you know, as you kind of look at people, you can kind of read people and see where they're at. But Martha was more of an extrovert. She was one that wasn't afraid to speak her mind. She's going to be the one when something happens, she's going to be there. And she's going to be, you know, taking charge of the situation, and she's going to be in control. She has that alpha type personality to where she's going to be there. But one thing that we see about Martha is she had a servant's heart. Every scripture that we read, every story that we're going to read today, we'll see Martha serving. That she was placing other people before herself. And she was making sure that everybody was fed, that everybody was comfortable, that everything was in place and in order. And that's the heart of Martha. She was the servant. And we'll look at Mary, her sister, as well. And Mary was a little bit more reserved. She was more of the introvert type. And, you know, we don't see her like stepping up, you know, in the major situations. You know, we see her in a little bit different light. And, you know, she is more thoughtful in what she does. And you know, she was sensitive to other people's needs. And it's going to be neat how when we compare these two, that they both love Jesus the same. They both serve Jesus, but it came out in two completely different ways. And Jesus loved it. And so today, I want you to look into your own life. And I want to see who God made you to be. And that's how you need to serve God, and you need to serve the people around you. So the first one we want to jump into, we find in John chapter 11. And this is a pretty well-known verse of scripture, and so I'm not going to read the whole story here, but this is about their brother Lazarus. We're going to start John 11, verse 17 is where we're going to start. It said, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus... Hang on a second, I don't want to start right there. Let me give some backstory to this. Lazarus is sick, okay? And so, you know, they're friends with Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so Martha calls for Jesus to come. You know, Lazarus needs a miracle in his life. Jesus, come, you know, pray over my brother. He's sick, he's going to die. And Jesus looks at her and says, the sickness that your brother has will not end in death. Okay? And so Jesus decides to hang out for two more days. You know, and as you can imagine that, you know, they're wanting Jesus to come and heal their brother. And Jesus is just like not coming. Like 2 days, like, where is Jesus at? And Lazarus dies. And so, you know, as you can imagine, confusion happens. And you know, it's a sad situation. And so 2 days later, Jesus shows up. And Martha, hearing that Jesus was coming, she runs out to him. And this is where we're going to pick up the story in verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus was already in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, which is where Jesus was at. And many Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. And so you can kind of start seeing a difference in their personalities. Martha's the one that's going to get out there and make sure something happens. And so Martha runs to Jesus. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And so we kind of see in Martha's personality, she's running out to Jesus like, Jesus, where were you? You know, if you were only here, you know, I still trust in you, but if you're only here. And so we know the story that Jesus goes in and the tomb's sealed and they open the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. And I love this one part of it. It says, well, you know, if he comes out, you know, he's been stinking, you know, like for 4 days now. You know, that's kind of a mom thing to like, you know, he stinks, right? He's been dead for 4 days. But anyway, and so Lazarus is raised from the dead and the miracle happens. And there's the celebration of the family reunion there. And it's that beautiful picture of, you know, Jesus bringing the family back together. But in here, we can kind of see some of the personalities of Martha and Mary, and that Mary stayed back, and that Martha went on. I promise you, I'm going somewhere with all of this. All right, Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to find the next story about Mary and Martha. And, you know, I think if this particular thing happened in this day and age, with social media, you know, Martha's going to be on Facebook bad-mouthing Mary on this one. We'll read this here in a second. Let's look at this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, says, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, I don't know if this is the first time that they all met, but it doesn't really say. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So here we kind of see the personality of Martha. She's the servant's heart. And I kind of see myself in this picture here, in, you know, that Mary had that, or Martha had that servant's heart, and she's going and she's preparing, and Jesus is in the other room, you know, the Son of God. I'm thinking, like, if Jesus shows up in here, I'm going to quit what I'm doing. I'm just going to go sit down next to him and, like, you know, Jesus, talk to me. give me something here, you know, and just, you know, soak up in his presence and stuff. And that's what Mary was doing, in that, her heart was, you know, just to be in the presence of God and the presence of Jesus and learn. And Martha was like, okay, I've got to get the bread cooked. I got to get the table set, and I got to get this done. And she's rushing around like she wants to be in there, but she's rushing around trying to get all this stuff done. She's like, Jesus, tell her to help me so we can all enjoy this. And Jesus was like, hang on. See, lots of times those who have Martha's heart, the servant's heart, lots of times those people miss out on what God's trying to speak into their life because they're too busy trying to serve. Now, I'm not trying to downplay serving at all. I believe that we all need to be servants. What I'm saying is that we have to be careful that we're not so busy serving God that we leave God out of it. And I know lots of mothers have that servant's heart, in that, you know, you've got to get the laundry done, and you got to get this done, and this done, and this done, and you're doing all this stuff. And I don't want you to miss what God's trying to speak to you. You know, there's times that God wants us to sit down at his feet and be. And that's hard for some people to do. Because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I got to mow the yard. I've got to go do this. Sometimes we just need to be. Sometimes we just need to be in the presence of God. Not bring our to-do list, not to bring our prayer list, not to bring all of these things. Sometimes we just need to be. And kind of soak in the presence of God. And see, I have to be careful in my life, because when I come to church on Sunday, it's a work day for me. I come in, I've got to make sure, you know, this is ready, that's ready. I need to make sure everything's running right. And then when I come into the service, my mind is not on God at all. It's about on all the things that are going on, and I got to make sure everything's going right. And I feel like sometimes it's all on me, and God's just saying, hey, dummy, I've got this under control. See, we've got to be careful that we don't play God in our own lives and trying to control everything and to make sure everything's going to work out right. See, God gave us a job. He said, I need you to be willing and obedient. I need you to be willing and obedient. And let me worry about the result. See, I know some of you moms out there are just so consumed with, you know, how your kids are going to turn out. What are people going to think of my kids? Are my kids behaving? And we're so concerned about all of this stuff in life that we really don't have complete control over. And we try to play God. And we cut God right out of the equation because we're so worried and so consumed. See, God told us to be faithful and obedient. He said, raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, that's your job. Your kids are going to make their own choices. My kids are stubborn. Y'all know my kids too? My kids are stubborn. I can't always make them do what I want them to do. But it's my job to get in there and to love them and to be with them and to parent them and give the rest to God. Give the result to Him, because He's the only one that can truly change their heart. He's the only one that can truly do something on the inside of them. And so if you have that Mary personality, you have to be careful not to constantly just be going and going. You need to sometimes sit and be with your kids. Play with them. Get in the floor. One of my favorite things to do is wrestle with my kids. And, you know, I'll just get in the floor, and it's just like, you know, WWE. I mean, they're jumping, knees flying, elbows, and it hurts. But you know what? That's more important to me than if their room is clean. That's more important to me than if they ate all of their vegetables. Yes, they need to clean their rooms. We make them clean their rooms. We make them eat, you know, the right stuff. But sometimes we got to make sure that we got our priorities in the right order. And that we're raising these kids and they look at us as parents and we're their picture of God. You know, there's a lot of kids out there that don't have fathers in the home. And, you know, God is our heavenly Father. And sometimes I wonder, you know, how does someone that doesn't know their father connect with God as their father? You know, how do they connect there? Because if all they know is rejection and shame and those things from their parents, then that's the way they're going to look at God as well. And so we got to be careful that we're loving our kids. And we all love our kids, but we got to be careful that we're showing and we're being God to our kids. And not just be the servant. Not just be the one that cooks and cleans and makes sure everything is going right. Yeah, we have to do those things. But spend that time with your kids. Be there for them. John chapter 12. I love this story. Because this kind of brings Mary out and kind of her personality and the way that she was. Because she was kind of the introvert. You never really see her like standing out in a story. Like Martha, you know, she's running out to meet Jesus and she's the one getting things ready. And she's like, you know, tell her to help me, you know. And so Martha, I mean, Mary's always kind of like laid back, you know, in the picture. And so here we get to see Mary and her personality shine through. And we find this in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, starting verse 1. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Here we see Martha in her servant mode again. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him, objected, why isn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and the keeper of the money bag, and he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus said. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Here we see this beautiful picture of Mary coming and worshiping Jesus. You know, there's all the activity going on in the house, the meals being prepared and stuff, and Mary, in her introverted, non-confronting, you know, just quiet, she just quietly came in, broke open the perfume and began to wash his feet. Beautiful picture of how we need to pour our life out for God. To pour our life out into worship. See, we don't see Mary being assertive at any time, but we see her initiate one of the most beautiful moments of worship in the gospel. See, I mean, this was a year's wages worth of perfume. She honored Jesus so much and what Jesus had done in loving them and raising her brother from the dead and the friendship that they had, that she was willing to give all for Jesus. Now she just quietly came in and washed his feet, wiped it with her hair, I can see women doing that now, just getting their hair and wiping Jesus' feet with it. I don't know what that's about, but anyway. Let me tell you something. Just because you might not be the most talented, outgoing, exciting leader out there, doesn't mean that you don't have anything to offer God. Let me tell you something. Some of the most beautiful worship that happens doesn't come from the people that stand on this stage. The people with the singing talents and the musical talents. And, you know, some of the most beautiful worship comes from people that kind of hide in the background. That kind of, you know, they don't want to be in the spotlight. But their heart is full of love and full of worship for God. And you know, lots of times these people will worship in a way that nobody ever sees. See, we like to do things for people to see lots of times, don't we? We like to go do a serve project and take a ton of pictures and post it on Facebook and like, hey, look what we did today. I'm not saying that that's wrong to do that, but what's your heart behind that? If you're serving people so people can see you serve people, then your heart's in the wrong place. But some of the most beautiful worship is when you go and you do something for somebody and giving your life to them, you're giving something to them, maybe feeding somebody and nobody ever sees it. Maybe even the person that you did it for doesn't even know who did it. See, one thing that Jesus said, you know, in the time when we're standing before God and he said, this is all my sheep over here. And see, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. And they said, Jesus, when did we ever see you hungry or naked or in prison? And he said, it's when you do it for the least of these. You did it for me. You did it unto me. And see, this is the heart of Mary, in that she went and she served and she worshiped in a way that blew away anything that we see in the Gospels. And she took something very precious to her and poured it out at the feet of Jesus. And she humbled herself. She got down on the floor and poured that out and used her hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. There's nothing more humbling than washing somebody else's feet. You know, if I said, hey, we're going to have a foot washing today, how many of y'all are going to line up to wash feet? There's going to be a few of you like, hey, I'll do that. But, you know, that's not going to be the highlight of your day probably. But see, some of the most beautiful worship happens. Not by those people that are on stage or always in the public eye, but it's in those people that are quietly serving God. And loving people. See, I know there's lots of Marys that are here. And that you think, you know, I can't sing, I can't teach, I can't, you know, I don't have all those talents, God. How can I serve you? What can I do? See, you need to be you. You need to be who God made you to be. Don't try to force yourself into coming up here and singing. Like, if I started singing right now, everybody would just be like, I guess service is over. They're having some kind of American Idol spoof or something that's horrible, you know. But you need to serve God in the way that's in your heart. See, some of the most beautiful acts of worship will be what you do. Maybe at home. In serving your family. Or it might be you're going to a restaurant and there's someone there that's hungry and you say, come on, let's go eat. And you sit down with them and you feed them and you talk with them and you share the love of Jesus with them. See, if the only worship that we do is here in this building, then we're not worshiping. Because worship is not singing. Worship is giving your life fully to God and pouring it out as an offering for Him. And that when He speaks to your heart, you go and you do that. See, nobody asked Mary to do this. Jesus didn't ask him to. this was something that came out of her heart. I believe it was something that God spoke to her heart. As Jesus said, this was meant to prepare me for my burial. And so this was something that God placed on her heart to go and to do and to serve. See, we need to have that Mary's heart to where we use our gifts and our talents and what God gives us for His glory. See, you may not be the Miss Pinterest mom, have everything together. See, lots of times we just struggle to keep things together. It's like, hey, we made it, you know. Like when I take the kids to school, they don't usually match. Unless Miranda picks out their clothes beforehand. You know, Ella's hair looks funny when I do it. You know, but that's not what it's about. It's not about perfection. God never expected perfection from us. See, the only time we see that God ever expected perfection is when He gave the law. And see, He knew that we couldn't keep the law perfectly, but it was to show us that we need a Savior, that we need Jesus Christ. And so my plea for you today is that don't strive for perfection. Don't strive to look perfect in whatever you do. You don't have to be perfect mom. You don't have to be perfect dad. You don't have to be perfect student. But what we need to do is to realize that we need a Savior, that we're not perfect, and that we need to depend on Him for everything. Lots of times I get up in the morning and say, God, I'm here. I can't do it. I need You today. And it's that kind of dependence that God is looking for in us. See, when we give our lives completely to Him like that, our lives will be a worship to Him. And we don't have to get on Facebook and bash somebody because, you know, they fed their kids some Cheetos today for lunch. And that's all that their kid would eat that day. You tried to give them the banana, but they didn't want it. They wanted the Cheetos, and that they didn't eat anything else. That's okay. Guys, I just want to encourage you, seek God. Allow God to show you who He made you to be and be that person. Be that person. Because that's how God is going to use you the best. See, if I try to be a dad like whoever good dad is, I don't know. Like no name, like all names left my head at that moment. But if I try to be dad like someone else's dad, then I'm going to fail as a dad. Because God brought my kids into my family for Miranda and I to raise. And we need to raise them as we would raise them under the direction of God. And see, when we do that, we will see our kids love God. Yeah, they're still going to make dumb decisions. They're still going to go do their thing. But when you love your kids as God loves you, they'll always come back. Some people need to hear that today. They will always come back. Because they know that love. They know that love, and that's what they're looking for. They will come back. So keep loving. Keep supporting. Keep doing what you know to do. And allow God to bring the result. Amen. Father, thank You today for all that You do, God. Thank You that we don't have to be perfect. God, You never called us to be perfect. Lord, just help us in our brokenness and our weaknesses, God, to depend on You. Because it's in our weakness that Your grace is made strong. God, help us to run to You and depend on You. God, as spouses, as parents, as children, as employees, as employers, in every part of our life, God, help us to depend on You. God, help us to realize that we don't have to live up to the hype of the world. God, only what you placed in our hearts. Father, I just pray that this word brought encouragement to hearts of moms today and dads today to keep on going, to keep being willing, faithful, and obedient to you. And we trust in you for the results, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.